Punters and dribblers, as always, we're brought to you by the greatest multivitamin ever conceived by man, Good Day. Now, the reviews continue to flow in thick and fast.
Have you got that one from the other day?
Yeah, can I read it out?
Yeah, read it out.
It's so good. It's actually fucking unbelievable. What has been really nice, Tom and I were reflecting on this the other day, is just how much people are finding it
beneficial to their
massively
life.
Beneficial to their life. I know that at the start there would have been a lot of cynics out there going, these cunts are full of shit, they don't know what they're doing, and you couldn't be more wrong, which just brings joy to my little heart and my little soul. Now I want to get up this absolutely elite review,
and we do appreciate the reviews, obviously. Look, it's like the feedback is positive, so that's good. But just being able to hear how it's helping you and the different ways you're seeing benefits helps us know, I guess, the most tangible. Cause there's like tangible benefits and there's intangible ones, like energy, for example. You can feel an improvement in your daily energy, whereas then there's like nutritional benefits like liver health or your fucking immunity generally being boosted. Those are ones where you don't really notice that until maybe you're on it for a while, and you say you've got two young children in daycare who come home sick as fuck, and then you just don't seem to be getting sick where you used to get sick.
Life-changing. 5 stars. Big fan of Hello Sports, so my viewers are always going to be biased. I actually bought it for my wife. Didn't mention who it was by and just let her see how it went for her. Mum of 3 kids and runs her own busy business while I also work 7 on 7 off away. After 3 days, she was hooked. Improved late in the day fatigue and mood. Come day 7, she had forgot to take her Good Day. Her mother was visiting and said the wrong thing and she snapped. Instantly says, I'm sorry, I haven't had my Good Day. Next thing, the mum-in-law is now tasting it and they're walking around the house like they both just discovered fire and were the only ones to know about it. Good result. Even got some alone time with the added less fatigue. With her, not her mum. That would be weird. But a look into the future, I suppose. So it's out there working its ass off, which is fucking terrific. There are downsides to being the fastest selling multivitamin of all time.
Yeah.
And that's that in the last month in particular, sales have just gone fucking through the roof,
which we love.
Tripled, I think, Tom. So we basically got caught with our pants down a little bit and not enough stock on hand.
Yeah, pants down, cold, little doodles.
It won't happen again. That's a Hello Sport promise. However, we are likely to sell out in the next probably 4 or 5 days, roughly. We will have stock for those with subscriptions.
Yep.
So you will never miss out. If you're a subscriber, you're good. If you are a new subscriber as of when we sell out, or you're a new customer, you won't be able to purchase. Well, you can purchase it, but it won't arrive for about 3 weeks.
Yes. So from here, if you start subscribing, you basically just locking it in so that when it lands, then you're good to go and you're straight back on the train.
So you'll know, Punters and Dribblers, we'll do a bit of a thing on the Instagram when we do a sellout, and you'll notice on the website it'll flick from buy now to pre-order.
Yeah.
So that'll be the difference.
Listen, it's not ideal, but it also really just means that it's been successful beyond our wildest imagination, and you just couldn't have planned for it to go as well so quickly. So we're fucking horny for that. We got more as soon as we financially could, we fucking ordered more. And it's just the way that it goes, the production, again, when you're getting primo quality shit, it takes time.
And it's got to be tested multiple times. There's a bit of a process. We've sped it up as much as we can. It is what it is, punters and dribblers. Bear with us. So we'll let you know when it sells out. But again, it'll be sometime this week. Again, and subscribers,
dude,
you're all good.
It's funny.
You're all good.
We've been looking at it going, geez, we might have a couple of days here where we don't have any. We'll see. But, you know, we should be all right. And then just each day it keeps growing. And there's like, obviously you're fucking pumped for that. But then you go, oh, shit, it might actually be a little bit more. Maybe it's going to be a week where we won't have any. And you're like, oh, fuck, maybe it's going to be 2 weeks. Then on the weekend, Eddie's like, it could sell out within days. I'm like, oh, my God. God, fuck. Yes, great. Thank you all. But also, fuck.
Yep. So subscribers, you're good. We'll let you know when it sells out, and fucking good on you.
Get the fucking pre-order in though. It's clearly good shit. You don't want to miss it. Just become a subscriber and then you're fucking good to go.
BeGoodHealth.com.au, code Dribblers for 20% off.
You are listening to the Hello Sport Podcast.
What's up, punters and dribblers? Merry fucking Christmas. Welcome to another episode of the Hello Sport Podcast. I'm Unqualified Opinion and Unwavering Bias. Back Boxing Day. Australia just lost the toss. Well, Pakistan won it. If you wanted to be more of an optimist, generally, they chose to bowl first, which is obviously stupid always. So just a nice way to start off. Obviously, that could come back to bite me, but I would say it's always stupid.
Well, it is stupid, Tom, because it allows us on Boxing Day, one of the nation's spiritual days, it allows us to fucking get in there and pillage runs and score centuries in front of, you know, 80,000 fucking rabid punters and dribblers. So to give us a layup on Boxing Day again, almost in a sense a holy day that unites all of us, without the religion, if you know what I mean, then you don't really get
it.
It's
and close Pakistan, to religion. Yeah, right.
Exactly. Well, it's our religion, Tom. And Pakistan don't seem to get that. And if they do, I don't think they've got the cattle to bring to pull off a coup like this, a coup d'etat, Tom. So
no.
Good luck, Tom. A coup d'etat. I think it'll be about 1 for 500 at the end of the day, and we'll be on our merry way.
Mm. Now, for those of you watching on YouTube, we are doing this remotely. I not next to Eddie, Eddie not next to me, Tobler not next to any of us. We're doing it through the magic, the power of technology. I've still come into the studio because it was, you know, we can get into that, but I'm in the studio on my little camera setup. Eddie, where do we find you?
Mate, I'm in Robertson. I've basically been relegated out to the fucking... out to the garage because everyone wanted to have breakfast. Fair enough. Not my house. Makes sense. But I am in the garage. That's why you've got the beautiful brickwork behind me here. Listen, we are connected through the power of technology. Although I will say that
poor Australian internet.
It never goes quite right. Not even the internet, mate. Like, we're trying to connect our fucking external mics. A wily punter and dribbler will notice that we're on the AirPods. Mics wouldn't connect. Didn't want to do it. They're showing up on the screen. H5, there it is. Tick, fucking select the box. Off we go to the races. Nothing coming through. No sound. Fucking
nothing.
Fucking frustrating, punters and dribblers. So if the quality's a little bit down from the lofty standards you expect of your heroes, that's why.
Yeah, it's horizontal season tech, right? Like, sorry, yes. We aren't fucking, this isn't whiz bang professionalism. Also, I am drinking a daily multivitamin on camera. If you're watching, not a big deal, but it will become important. Pay attention in the incoming months. Phenomenal. Look, it's horizontal season tech. It is what it is. Fuck technology. Fuck those that create it. Like, thank you for your help, but like, it's not that fucking user friendly. It's just not. It wasn't that hard, but there's always something. That's kind of like me with handyman shit. I can get to the point of like completion, and then something stops me from completing, you know?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, mate. Something just pops up and stops you from completing.
Very frustrating. Whether it's a thought of your nan, or if it's like someone coming in, or it's a cat licking your foot, you know, it'll stop you from completing.
Yeah. Or enhance it, depends. I mean, it just depends. The luck of the draw.
Are you talking about a cat licking your foot?
No, I'm saying if someone was to come in and join you. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Okay, I get that. Nah, that could help.
You get that, do you?
Nah. Well, depends who, doesn't it, really? How's your
Christmas,
mate? It does.
Like, if you walked in, big trouble.
Yeah, I wouldn't help you. I reckon, what if I came in and I just started, like, massaging you while you're on the job?
Yeah, nah.
No?
Nah, mate, not
what
for me.
What about if I was... What about positive? What about positive, like pep talk, like reinforcing? Like, come on, Eddie.
See, listen, horizontal season tech. Missed your whole bit there, mate. Missed your whole gag.
Shit, dude. It wasn't even a gag. Well, I mean, listen, I'm disappointed. Sure, I'm disappointed. The people at home will know, but they won't obviously get the reaction that we're all hoping, which was rapturous applause. I just had a testy pop as well. Fucking hell. It's really just, it's tough stuff.
Oh, tough stuff. So Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, mate. No, you were right, mate. You're good. You just cut out for that brief moment. But to answer an earlier question, Tom, if you'll allow me, Christmas yesterday was good. My first Christmas with the Dumbrellas, my first Christmas playing away, so to speak, had the away kit on. Quite enjoyed it. And I'll tell you why. As much as we love our families, they fucking annoy us and they get on our nerves. And there's certain things they say that just really fucking drive a wedge into you. Or a knife, or however, whatever instrument you want to imagine. But you know what I'm talking about, punters and dribblers. It's just people from your own family fucking piss you off sometimes. And when you play away, you're freed of that burden, completely freed of it. Everyone's polite to you because you're a guest, so to speak. Everyone was really nice. Everyone was saying nice things. Everyone was in a good mood, generally speaking, which helped. Obviously, there was bickering, but you get that in a household of all girls. It's just par for the course, so to speak. But I was treated like the guest of honor that I am, I suppose I would say. Even though I've been in and around the family for 13 years, guest of honor was still rolled out. Again, first Christmas, heaps of gifts, heaps of presents for yours truly, which was nice because I usually don't get a whole lot. No offense to mum and dad, but like when you're paying away, you get a little bit more. And that's what yesterday was, which was nice. We made cocktails, Tom. What's frustrated me greatly is that my cocktails aren't up to restaurant grade just yet. That's really fucking starting to piss me off because I'm like, what is it? What do I need to tweak here to get them up to restaurant grade? Because that's what I want. I want to be able to roll out restaurant grade cocktails to the people.
Let me stop you there. You don't want restaurant grade, Eddie. You want Michelin hat grade. Like, that's what you want. You want five-star Michelin hat cocktail. Because restaurant grade, we've all had some restaurant grade three cocktails, hats. And those taste like shit.
Yeah, I want three hats. I want to blow your fucking socks off. I want your knickers to come flying off.
Yeah.
Or your jocks. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I want people soaking themselves. And I'm not there yet. I intend to be, hopefully by holiday's end. But we fucking ate well, which was nice. Every year at my household, it's like roast pork, which I love, obviously. But this year was a bit different. We had a bit of ham. We had a bit of fish. We had a bit of roast beef. We had a bit of sashimi, Tom. Guess where I went? Down in Nataris. Our old mates down in fucking Cronulla, used to be in Alexandria. Popped in, paid them a visit. Ken reports still absolutely fucking best in class. So shout out to Nataris for delivering the Christmas goods. Oh, bro. Yeah. I just went fucking hard in the paint, as much tuna as they had. I bought them out of tuna. I bought a fuckload of salmon. I bought a fuckload of kingfish. Unbelievable. And then Tim got five dozen oysters. Unshucked, punters and dribblers. Unshucked. So it's pretty good.
Well, Tim's the oyster pretty king, good. Right? If you're going to get oysters from it. If anyone's going to bring oysters, you want it to be Tim the Oyster King. Much like the Tiger King, but the Oyster King.
That's right. So that was nice. And then we washed it all down with Ricky Gervais's new special, which was humorous.
Is it good? Is it good?
I enjoyed it. He's so fucking clever. Fuck, he's clever.
I was thinking about him the other day and whether he, because you hear like a lot of comedians, when they're working on new specials, they're like going around to like clubs and working it out. And I'm like, I never, obviously Ricky, I don't fucking, but I'm like, does he do that? Or does he just get up there and just fucking raw dog it? Surely he'd have to work that shit out somewhere. But he just doesn't strike me as a big like club comic
club guy. No, he doesn't.
Anyway.
I don't have an answer to that, Tom. He references the fact that he ran a few things by his wife.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I'll watch it. Well, I had a little different Christmas. Won't get too much into it, but missed the Baggy Green long lunch last week with, unfortunately, Evie Rose getting fucking sick again. But this time, comfortably the most hectic of all. She got a rare, and when I say rare, like a couple of hundred kids a year get it, autoimmune disease called Kawasaki disease, which also doesn't seem like a real thing, which was hard to take at the start because I felt like I was being lied to from the outset. hectic. She had fevers for a week, which we were told was tonsillitis. She had a huge fucking ball in her neck from a swollen gland, which they said had come down with antibiotics. Didn't come down. Friday, she had rash, like a rash all over her body. Still had this fucking thing on her neck. Still had fevers. Took her to the hospital. It's crazy, a mother's intuition. Like, she looked like shit. So it's not like it took a fucking mentalist to work out that she was sick. But like, waking up and Steph's like, no, fuck this. We're going to the hospital. And in there, she's fucking all red. Her eyes are red. She looks fucking sick. And then they're like, oh, we think it might be this Kawasaki disease. Don't Google it. That's the first thing they said. And we're like, well, gonna Google it. It is something, it's like an autoimmune disease where your red blood cells or your blood cells become inflamed. Your immune system goes into overdrive. And the concern is that the inflammation, it's random where it pops up over your body, but then they're like, the concern is it gets to your heart, and then we got big trouble in little Amy. So that was sort of the stress. And so then what they got to do is, there's no test for it either, so they're like, we're just pretty sure this is what it is. I'm like, okay, like, yeah. You kind of just have to wait for like all these relevant things. So then they have to give this shit called immunoglobulin, which is from blood donations, and they need to give her a transfusion of that, and then they hope that that will, they could describe it as like a fire extinguisher, and then after you have that, that will hopefully put it all out, and then you need to, she's gonna have heart checks next year. But it didn't get to her heart. Like, they were doing all the fucking scans and shit, like nothing had got there yet. But they give her this immunoglobulin on the Friday. Then we wake up Saturday morning, they're like, oh, the machine fucked up and wasn't giving it to her all night. Right.
Oh, great. My God.
Terrific. Yeah. And fucking then,
hell.
And then, so you got to start it again. And basically, you're not considered like able to, you're not considered able to leave until 36 hours after you've had this shit. Like, that's, they need to see that you need to be like symptom free for 36 hours. So, again, I don't give a fuck in terms of like having to be in there for a bit longer, but it was just a bit of a ball. Like, it was more like, we're out. Like, we are out now. She got out yesterday, Christmas Day, like midday, but it was fucking hectic. It was also fucking cool to see the shit work. Like, she was completely red, hands swollen, yeah. All these different symptoms. And she has this immunoglobulin, and it's just like, it just fucking works. And I think it's called Kawasaki disease because the guy was like a Japanese dude who discovered the cure. Like, they still don't even really know how it works, like how it's fixed. They're like, we don't even really know why this mixture of this like transfusion and this an aspirin works, but it just does. So like, don't ask any questions.
So just roll with it.
Just shut the fuck up and roll with it a little bit. And we were like, okay, sweet.
Yeah.
So mate, like, to be honest, like, the most stressful 3 days of my life comfortably. Like, it was fucking hectic. But all's well that ends well. I will say that the staff at Randwick Children's Hospital might be the greatest people on earth. Like, the way they look after kids. Dude, she came home with like more fucking toys than we gave her for Christmas. Like, it was insane. It was absolutely insane. Brand new Bluey toys, brand new fucking puppy. She got two fucking mermaid Barbies. She got an Elsa doll. She got something else. And I'm just like, fuck me dead. But like, again, they're just like, the way they interact with kids who are really sick and who like are scared and who, you know, just trying to like distract them and calm them down. It was hectic, but it was also like, you're just going, Jesus Christ, these people are incredible. So shout out to the nurses. And also, like, truthfully, because it was stressful, but then I was like, she got home on Christmas. I was like, this is almost like the best fucking Christmas ever. Like, there were so many families that you just like, you see that aren't going anywhere. It's fucking intense. Yeah. And people with much more hectic shit going on. So, bit of a fucking weird few days, but we're out, we're good. She's seemingly on the improve. It was basically just like, she just was like, after you have this immunoglobulin shit, I hope I never have to say that fucking thing again after this podcast. It was like, you just can't have fevers for like 36 hours. So you just, every time you're testing her for a temperature, you're like, ah, okay, we're good. But dude, she had fevers for seven fucking straight days, just nonstop. Like,
Jesus
Christ.
You'd
pound it all, it'd go away. Then they'd come back, and then you'd pound it with Nurofen, and then it'd go away. And then you, it was just fucking hectic. Anyway,
how the
so
fuck
that's
do you
me,
get
dude.
Kawasaki disease?
Well, so it's like, again, bit of a like, you can sort of, it's not contagious, so it's not something you can just pick up like on the street.
Right.
You can't
right.
get it from your local Wuhan wet market daycare. It's like you either need to be like, it'll either sort of pivot off of like a, you run down. So it's like, oh, you're a bit sick. And then for whatever reason, it just triggers it. Or it can just happen. But she, what they think it was that she was sick and then it happened. But also what's funny, right. dude, and don't jump down my throat here, racist or non-racist people, which is me too. I am also not racist, but the disease does seem to be racist a little bit given what the doctors told me. So not me being racist, not the doctors being racist, Kawasaki disease in and of itself slightly racist. They were just like, this usually is exclusive to Asian kids.
Right. So
don't know
that
why.
Makes it
I don't
even
know why.
Fucking rarer.
Exactly. It's like they said Asian kids, maybe sometimes Greek kids. I don't know what the Greeks are, you know, but there's some Greek kids. And then it was like Anglos and whatever else. It's sort of like way less likely. And also it's usually just like a, it's like, you know, 1 to 5 years old. You're like, is when you get it.
Isn't it
so
crazy
anyway,
that it's crazy that there's diseases that are that rare, particularly, obviously, and again, not racist, in Anglo kids, and they work out what it is. Like, how much shit could they, do you need to fucking know? Like, how many diseases do you need to have in your fucking brain? Like, is it like hundreds and hundreds of thousands? Like, what the fuck is it? How can you just pick and go, I reckon that might be Kawasaki that like no Anglo kids in Australia ever get?
It's crazy to think about the way doctors go about, or scientists go about, like working out what works. Like this immunoglobulin shit, I'm not entirely sure what it is, but I know that it is from blood. But like, oh, okay, well, let's just see if we mix this with like also giving them regular doses of aspirin, which is like an anti-inflammatory. See if that works. Oh, okay, it works. We're not entirely sure why, but fuck it. Let's just go with that. Shout out to Tomaki Kawasaki or something. Shout out to that guy. But it's wild. There's this movie that I watched, like I remember when I was younger, called Lorenzo's Oil. Not to get too deep into this film, but I don't remember what it was a movie about two parents whose son got this fucking disease, which all these like kids were getting. Where I can't remember what exactly the disease was called, but basically it was just like you lost all motor function and you just sort of like you just became like a paraplegic. You couldn't speak, not like motor neurons, but I guess maybe kind of like that in some sense. But then the parents just becoming so obsessed with this, like, what the fuck is it? What's going on? How do you fix it? Not even scientists. They like worked out the cure for this thing, and it's called Lorenzo's Oil because that's the thing that cures these kids. And now it's like they just take this oil and you're good. It's like if you get diagnosed, it's like, well, you just gotta take this oil.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Lorenzo's Oil, shout out to it. One final question, is he of Kawasaki fame? Like is he like got motorbike lineage and shit?
Now this was something that I haven't had time to research for obvious reasons. Although you could argue plenty of times that in a hospital, maybe I did have time to research it. I don't know whether the Kawasaki name, the great Kawasaki name, Edward, is akin to a Smith in Australia. You know? I don't know whether it's just that there are great Kawasakis everywhere or whether this is a son of a fucking motorbike billionaire who's decided to try his hand at you know, diseases. Marnus looks like he's crying as he sings the anthem there. I love it.
Love that. I think probably more likely that the Kawasaki are great people, Tom.
Yeah, proud people.
A great and a proud people of doers, of absolute doers. Like a man,
yeah.
A man sees a disease and cures it. Another man sees or has a need for speed and just creates like elite bikes. That's what I would say. Exactly. The Kawasaki's, having never met them, obviously
personally,
but I haven't had the honor.
I'll reach out. No. That leads to me missing the baggy green long lunch, which again I couldn't have given less of a fuck about in the moment given the circumstances. Now that things have started to quieten down, God willing, and they continue to do so, I'd be lying if I said that I wasn't keen to hear a little bit more. The only information I really have was a random video I saw either on the Punters and Dribblers or on Instagram of what looked like a 4 a.m. rendition of How to Make Potties. And I saw Tobler standing there in the background with a bunch of dribblers very, very late in the night. It is sort of how I would characterize what I saw.
Yep. Listen, baggy green long lunch, although we were missing a man, it went on and we marched on into the good night and we had a fucking, an absolute rip snorter. Great turnout, really healthy turnout. Everyone in a good mood. Although last year, I think there was a lot more potentially of, I don't know who the fuck any of you cunts are. Not just from my perspective, but from everyone's perspective. But this year, there was a little bit, you could tell that it was friends catching up. I think this year. I think that's how I would describe it. It was friends catching up for an annual lunch on the longest day of the year, the summer solstice, teammates. In the Southern Hemisphere, Punters and Dribblers. Teammates, brothers, Tom. Brothers.
Yeah.
Everyone had the greens on. We got fucking Sam Rigney welcomed into the 11, which was a nice moment, Tom. A couple of words said, beautiful stuff. A bit of a group hug, which was nice. I would suggest a few bum pats. I didn't dish any out, I don't think, but there would have been some. I lost my camera already?
Fuck. You have lost your camera, buddy.
Punters and Dribblers, we are brought to you by Neds. They are the betting platform of choice here at Hello Sport. Now you can follow along all of our bets at in the About Even private group on the Neds app. Also following our profiles. As I've been saying, my civilian bets are where I seem to be doing my best work. My About Even bets starting to improve. I can feel myself starting to improve. I did hit two on the weekend.
After back-to-back triple staked losses.
The triple staked losses for unit scoopers have absolutely cut to fucking the Tiger King. I may never recover from this, but... The civilian bets is where you can see me getting to my work, and that is on the profiles.
Good for you, Tommy. Ned's best in the business. Come join along. Join our About Even group if you'd like as
you
well.
Eddie, just you're just repeating me now, are you?
I didn't hear you say that.
You just where were you? Where were you?
Pixies.
Where were you, mate?
Pixies.
Full pixie stuff. So now you're just gonna say you're gonna talk about the fucking profiles tab as well. You're gonna talk about the About Even group. Yeah.
About Even that? Group.
Yeah. How do you get in there?
That's what I said, code dribblers.
Oh, okay. There you go. Good. What's this ad for again?
Neds.
Oh, yeah. Great point. Glad you're listening. Pixies. Pixie Simps. Shout out to Neds. We love you, Neds. We love you. Go Manly.
Now, you win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Punters and Dribblers, there's 2 days left to be in the chance to play golf. Be in with the chance to play golf at Shorty's with myself and Eddie. Buy a six-pack of Big Day Rosé at hallosport.shop. You will go in the running. We pick two winners from the month of April. But what are we doing month of May? Because we are working our way through the remainder of the most recent vintage. Got a couple left that we want to get rid of before we then turn all of our attention to the end of the year.
Just feeling generous, Tom.
We're feeling generous, and it's sale time.
We just thought, fuck it. If you buy a case and you use the code Manly, you get $50 off the case. If you buy two cases, you get $100 off.
Yep.
You get what I'm trying to say? Go to hallosport.shop, bang, rosé on there, code Manly, $50 off a case. Pretty fucking generous if you ask me. But we love the punter and we love the dribbler, and we're just like... let's get this vintage out there to the people that want it most.
Let's get it in the gullets of the nation.
That's right. Gullet up.
Mate, so Sam Rigney was inducted into the 11. There was tears. There was rapturous applause. There was hugs. There was kisses. There was group hugs. Beautiful stuff. Everyone unanimous in their praise for How to Make Potties, available now on Spotify. Sam Dribbley, also known as Sam Rigney. A beautiful moment, I think, Tom, for the 11. It was upsetting that you weren't there to witness it. But again, I fly the flag, baby, and I fucking led the man. We were given gifts, which was nice, like tequila and fucking all manner of things. Hopefully he hasn't drunk it.
I like that maybe a part of what we create here is that at the Dribble Along lunch, so obviously we're putting on lunch for everyone, that you come, much like the three wise kings of Orientar, we three kings or whatever that hymn is, like that you come bearing gifts for us.
Yes, yes. A couple of notable gifts that I'll shout out. Ned Brockman got us a very nice bottle of tequila. Very nice.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. No, we got tequila, and I'm not impugning other people's work. It just happened that Milk Baron Ned Brockman got us a really nice bottle of tequila. So shout out to him. But he was one upped. He was one upped by Jason and Jorge Alday, who got us a wooden box with about seven or eight cigars in it, good cigars, a cigar cutter and a fucking jet lighter, and it's like it's got Hello Sport engraved into it. Fucking like a leak.
Is it just a wooden box or is that a full blown humidor?
Well, we were trying to work it out. There's a thing in there that like apparently keeps the fucking humidity down in there.
Yeah, well that's a fucking humidor, dude. That's like the legit, that's like cigar box. Cigar maintenance 101, dude. That's why whenever you go and get them from stores and shit, they're in like a wooden thing usually, and like you go in there. So if we've got our own humidor, that's good. We also need to, and obviously this might sound like a fiscally irresponsible motivation, but given that we can't smoke cigars in this studio, we may need to look to move out.
Well, I don't know. Toddler and we have actually got a little outdoor area. I don't know if you've ever noticed it. Have you ever noticed our little outdoor area?
As in just at the...
You know, the little V next to the building? The little gap? You just wedge yourself in there. You can set up chairs and shit.
Bro, I was looking at that recently. I was like, there's nothing, no one's using that space.
You could put like chairs and shit out there for sure.
Dude, you could backyard blitz it. We go in there with a fucking... Just get to work.
That's actually pretty good content, I think, us like taking care of our backyard.
Yeah. There's just this weird, it's just there's like a little
tree. There's a little tree in there, dude.
It's just like where all the buildings meet and they just haven't found a way to properly utilize this weird triangle of space.
Correct. But you could get, I dare say you could get, what, eight blokes out there sitting down pretty comfortably?
Yeah, you'd need to get flat packs though and build it in there because there's no way you're carrying a table through that little gap.
No, I'm just saying it's fucking there to be pounded, and that's probably going to be our cigar area for now.
Yeah, and also, who's to say we couldn't put a little gate on there? No one's using it. Just like, sorry, this is ours.
Just claim it. 100%. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. I think it's a great idea. Anyway, but Jorge Alday, Jason, they won gift of the day. They won gift of the day. So, you know, I think worth mentioning and worth reiterating, Tom, that the easiest way to our heart has always been through gifts.
Yeah. Always. We have also had a lot of people hitting something like, how do I get a baggy green? And it's like, listen, you don't ask for starters. You can't ask for how do you get a baggy green. You can't just do. Either we ask and then you, so we might say, hey, give us fucking Christmas carols. And then that damn Rigney emerges, right? But also, the funny thing about that humidor is that could have got them a baggy green on their own.
Yeah, and I expressed that to them. I was like, this is obviously baggy green worthy. They were aware of that. So technically, you could argue Jason Jorge and the great Marcus Vinicharia have all earned two baggy greens, technically, by the letter of the law. They obviously don't get a second one. That'd be stupid. No. But I'm just pointing it out to people, maybe people whose names start with N that are from Newcastle who have been begging for one, should take note of what excellence looks like and what a job well done looks like. That's all I'll say. But the boys have set the fucking tone for next year. So congratulations to them. But it was a great day. Luke Bracey obviously came. He was a substitute fielder, obviously not part of the 11, but he was there to fucking, you know, try and earn his side some run-out opportunities if one of us needed to go off and take a shit halfway through a session. Luke could come on and fucking, you know, peg the fucking...
Do a job.
Peg the kookaburra around and do a job for the team. He did that. He was there before I got there, actually, just fucking yarning the dribblers, getting balls deep into the day. So to shout out to our good friend Nerdson Luke Bracey for impressing, I think it's fucking safe to say. I'm gonna give too much of the day out, Tom, because there is part of it where I don't want to go and like just give away all our secrets like Brett Lee did, but
And then that fucking guy from Channel 9 stole.
Correct. I don't want that to happen. I don't want to give Channel 9 any more oxygen than they deserve by fucking running a piece about what happened at the Baggy Green Long Lunch on the 6 o'clock news tonight. But
no, exactly.
There were some nice moments. There's some really nice moments that I told you about off camera just dribblers going the big lift for the day. Ended up back at a pub, got kicked out or cut off at like a, I would say early. I would say too early. We then try to go find another pub. And I don't know if people know this, but 25 blokes trying to get into a pub doesn't work. They look at you and you go, fuck off. And that's basically, that was our experience of it. Tobler was trying to lead us around, almost like trying to lead us to water. In the end, it was one of our own, Sam Rigney, the newest member, who put his hand up and said, I live close by. We can nip round there, which was nice. I wasn't there for too long. I basically just like reached a point where I was like, I'm going to smoke bomb, and smoke bomb I did. So shout out to me for pulling it off so smoothly. But Tobler did hang around to the wee hours, listening to live renditions of How to Make Gravy. How to Make Potties. And then
I think from there, Tobler, come on. I'm here. It was a magical moment.
Were there tears?
Oh, tears, hands around shoulders, raised glasses, just swaying, singing along. We enjoyed it so much that he actually did another rendition. In between, he did a bit of Wonderwall. And then another How to Make Potties rendition, and then finish it off with a sprinkle of Powderfinger My Happiness, and the boys were satisfied.
Oh,
what
my
time,
God.
What time was this? What time of night was this? This was at 11 p.m.
Okay. It's not outrageously late. What time were you there till?
No, it's not.
I left at about 2:30 when the boys were venturing onto their next destination at the hotel. But I got out of there at that point.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Smart.
There's a couple of blokes that you could probably predict were going back for kick-ons. You know what I mean?
Like, Danny
you had
Exotic.
To imagine who that might be. Yep. I believe Scotty Bellotti may have gone as well.
Well, listen, I don't know.
I haven't met Neil, so fucking. Oh yeah, I haven't met. Danny Exotic,
I don't think yet. Or Bellotti, maybe I meant Bellotti. Anyway, I think yes.
Sounds like a great day. I look forward to next year. I'm looking forward to seeing that humidor, and I'm actually looking forward to backyard blitzing that little triangle over there.
Yeah, we might have to get Jamie in. Fucking see if he can lend us a hand. Reach out, Jamie Drury.
Dude, how quickly do you reckon into us trying to backyard blitz it? Do you reckon that old bat from upstairs will just start getting angry for no reason, being like, what are you doing? You're like, mate, this place looks like shit. We're just trying to do it.
We're backyard blitzing this shit off.
Oh, my God. Pakistan just cannot field, bro. Warner just dropped off a Freedy in the slips. Dude, that was a fucking rugby league sitter. Oh, well, Jesus Christ, dude. They can't catch. Are you looking at it?
Yeah. On KO, obviously. Probably a good
time to move to KO.
A good time to mention, punters and dribblers, that if you're going to watch Test cricket, if you're going to watch any cricket this summer, then if you want to watch it live and ad-free on your phone, which is propped up on a fucking, that's an absolute shocker, propped up on a cup of tea, then you're going to need KO. You just are.
Yeah.
KO are the best in the business. If you don't have it, you're a fucking idiot. I think that goes without saying. But if I didn't have KO, I wouldn't have been able to see a horrific drop there on my phone as I do a potty for the people.
You also wouldn't be able to see your boys getting into their work just taking famous catches thanks to Maccas. Not an ad, but an ad. You wouldn't be able to see that without being on KO, which I think we're on again today, Ed. Just quietly.
Are we on today? I thought it was day three usually. Or is it day one?
I think it depends. I'm pretty sure that today's the day. I've got to double check that, but I'm pretty sure. So, I mean, by the time people listen to this, they will have already missed it, but they will have seen it on our Instagram if it is today. So it's don't worry too much.
Yeah, don't beat yourself up about it. But you, Tom and I, big film set guys, obviously big Maccas guys, obviously big classic catches guys. Listen, yeah. I think most people are smart enough to realize that we've been fucked in the edit, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, look, know this. We took some phenomenal catches on set. You don't get it. And to tell the tale that would bring mass appeal to the masses, obviously they had to do your boys dirty because we took some absolute fucking screamers, but they, you know, creative fucking editing, the magic of the film industry, you wouldn't get it. They fucked us a little bit, right? You don't get
they
it.
They did. They fucked
we
us.
We got fucked.
Basically, they were like, okay, all those catches. Yeah. No, in the edit. All we're saying is when we'd wrapped our catches and we've taken, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 like miraculous grabs, when we're reviewing the footage, you can't help but notice that we're reviewing dropped catches, not made ones.
Yes.
Just want that on the public record. Like, just want that on the public record.
We took screamers. We're big screamers, guys. While we're doing this for KO, we're watching it right now. Boxing Day test. Nothing better. I am, when I leave here, Eddie, I'm going to fucking get a shitload of seafood to take home to my family. Such is the hunter I am. Hunter-gatherer peoples, I go and hunt fresh seafood and sashimi from a seafood outlet. But I just am so horned to get home and just watch cricket. Dave Warner, beautiful shot, but he is looking a little bit weird. He's looking a little bit nervous, Dave. I will say that, early doors.
Well, it's a big day, mate, big occasion. No pressure because he's secured his finale, so to speak. But you want to make runs for the nation on Boxing Day.
Pressure, your last Boxing Day. So pressure is there. I think every fucking, it's your last Boxing Day. It's your last Sydney. Like, you want to be coming out there and basically, like, if I'm Dave, I want to be fucking Mitchell Johnson's top knot every single time I have an opportunity to do so. I just want to be like, you know what I mean?
Sit on it and spin sort of stuff. I'm hearing you.
Yeah. I would like a celebration from Mitch, which is just a double fingers to fucking wherever Mitchell Johnson's commentating. Go on, fuck you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we might get that if we're lucky enough today. And if he keeps getting dropped like that, then he's every chance of getting 100. Because that's
mate.
It's almost one of those things. It's almost one of those things where if you get dropped in that manner, you do make 100. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what this is? This is also like, I love this about Australia when we're up and about, is like now Fox Cricket is just showing drop catches from Pakistan this series already. You're just like, oh, this is good stuff. This is, they can't catch. We're so much better than them now. Like, let's just go and show all of their disgraceful fielding from literally they've played one test.
Yeah, let's just fucking smash him into the ground. Oh. How's that sound? It sounds great.
Yeah.
Love it. No, absolutely love it.
Absolutely terrific. Now, I just want to try and remind myself a couple of notes we may or may not have here because it's been a weird fucking time. Look, we're not big politics guys. You know that, Ed. You know that you and me, we're not big politics guys.
No.
Not big politics guys, you and me, Edward, right? Never have been. Not our MO, politics, that is. I will say this, though, as fuck me, Khawaja just almost edges one. The fact that the ICC aren't letting him even wear a fucking peace sign on his cricket bat, I just find that, like, people are like, don't make politics in sport. I'm like, didn't the ICC make everyone fucking take a knee for Black Lives Matter like a year ago? Where, like, before every game, entire teams had to fucking drop to their knees for Black Lives Matter. Not saying it's bad, but, like, that seems to me like a political statement. Wasn't Khawaja can't say that all lives matter, and then he can't wear a black armband for fucking the 7,000-plus children that have been killed in Palestine. Not a political statement. And then you got friend of the show, Manus Labuschagne, has some sort of Christian thing on his bat, as well as other people that do, and he can't have a peace sign. Like, I find it way more unpalatable when... I find it way more unpalatable when sporting bodies force political agendas, a la taking a knee, fucking the Manly fucking up with the jersey thing. Like, I get it, but I find that way more of a, like, you're getting politics rammed down your throat, as opposed to, like, one person deciding to go, like, I'm just going to make this statement myself. And again, if he was saying, like, free Palestine on his bat, I can understand how that may be a bit too fucking on the nose. But to just put a peace sign on there when there is evidence of other, like, examples of other people doing it, you're like, what the fuck is going on?
It seems like a fucking weird one, Tom. It really does. And it's a weird hill for the ICC to fucking die on, so to speak. Like, who gives a shit if he's got a fucking peace sign on his bat? Like, who actually gives a shit? You denying him the opportunity is actually, like, it's almost working against you in a sense. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you're making
way more
fucking,
attention to it.
Way more attention. Like, if he just walked out there with a peace sign on his bat, who would anyone blink a fucking eyelid? I don't think
no.
so. I think you.
Really
I think
would.
You blink an eyelid
really
now.
Would.
I mean, you blink an eyelid now because you've made such a big deal of it. I'd be surprised if the cameras even picked up on it. To be honest, like, it's just fucking.
Seriously.
It's absurd.
The only reason I knew Marnus had a fucking some Christian like eagle or some shit in his bat was because Fox Cricket did like a piece on it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that was all it was. I wonder what they can do. Like, if he hits 100, like, can you gesticulate after 100 and do something?
Yeah, well, because, yeah,
like,
of course
you can. Is that allowed?
Well, they'll probably fine him. But I remember a couple of years ago, I was, like, reading an article. Usman Khawaja was playing a game against India, and they were all wearing, like, military-style hats in support of, like, troops that had died and shit. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah.
There's been many, 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 many occasions of people... supporting things or, you know, showing signs of solidarity that just are absolutely play on. You can't help but feel like it might be the agenda driven. It might be the fact that, like, the thing that he wanted to wear on his shoe was in the Palestinian colors. I can't know for sure, but it's just, it feels like that to me.
I was listening to a podcast, the ABC Grandstand podcast with Ed Cowan and, the guy's got a strange name. I can't remember it, but he's a journo. And it's a good podcast. Ed Cowan, I really enjoy listening to Ed Cowan, although sometimes I will say this, he does, the way he speaks, it gives off a fart sniffy tone, but I kind of find myself agreeing with a lot of what he says.
Yeah.
But he was talking about how, like, the sort of religious backgrounds of all of the major cricketing nations, and how there's obviously a lot of Muslim backgrounded cricketing nations, but then there's obviously Christian centric ones. But he was like, they've got such a, like,
they kind of almost need to be so careful not to allow anyone to really do too much of anything because of what could potentially, you know, like there are nations that are currently like almost they can't play in their own countries because they hate each other so much, right? Like,
India and Pakistan can't play test matches.
Exactly. So it's like there's so much going on that you kind of need to be like, listen, dude, we can't be doing anything, even though there's examples of other players doing stuff. But I guess they're more like just general, I'm a Christian, I got a fucking Christian thing on my back, as opposed to one that is in direct response to an ongoing conflict. But shit, like it's hardly fucking, I mean, I don't find it divisive. I don't know. I don't understand how some people are so fucking angry about it. It's like most people, like whatever. Kevin Middlemass? Michael Middlemass? Sorry, I'm just trying to get a guy who does Michael Middlemass? Podcast with something middle. Corbin Middlemass.
Corbin Middlemass. That came out of nowhere, that fucking from you, Tom.
Well, dude, I tell you what it shows is that I'm so fucking talented that I can be having a conversation whilst in the background I'm running like some I'm running out of words. I'm basically running scans in the background of my mind whilst having a conversation.
Yeah, that was really nicely done, mate. You painted your picture perfectly there for the punter and the dribbler.
Yeah, thank you.
Lovely stuff. Punters and dribblers, I have got to go because I've got other shit to do. So I hope that you are grateful for Tom and I and Tobler for fucking giving up part of our Boxing Day to satisfy your just insatiable fucking urge for dribbling for yarn. Hope we've done that for you. Wish you all a great fucking day. Boxing Day, I don't even know what the fuck Boxing Day means, to be honest, but obviously it's obviously it's a holy day for many. So enjoy it, bathing,
I don't think it's a holy day.
Holy day for us, Tom, which is what I referenced at the start of the podcast, yes, saying that it is our holy day. Obviously, yep. I know it's not a holy day, define holy.
No. Yeah, the wealth. Yeah, I could. We're not going to do this on New Year's Day, obviously, which is next Monday. Are we going to come back for maybe another Tuesday fucking how are you?
Yeah, we're looking at the second, weren't we, Tobler?
Yeah, looking at the second. Yeah, sweet. All right. Beautiful. Much love to you all. Punters and dribblers. Also, just a quick one before we go, Eddie. The white punters and dribblers hats. Where are they? What's happened? I'm gonna peek behind the curtain here as Dave Warner plays and misses again. We sold more of the punters and dribblers hats in 14 hours than we sold in the entirety of last year for those pink ones. So, firstly, thank you very much to every one of you. It was fucking huge. We took the sale down because we were worried that our 3PL were not going to be able to cope under the fucking absurd amount of hats they had to get. So we just were like, let's put a pause on it and then we'll kick things off again once we've got that first batch out and to the public. If you still haven't got yours yet, it's probably an Oz Post problem at this stage and it's a very hectic time of year. So like people have got them. Unfortunately, we're seeing them out in the wild now.
Oh yeah, we're seeing them out in the wild. Unfortunately, punters and dribblers, Oz Post, they behave as Oz Post do. They deliver on time. They don't deliver on time. They lose shit. They don't lose shit. You got standard stuff beating express stuff. Listen, it is what it is. It's out of our hands. I appreciate your patience, and we appreciate your support because you've gone the fucking big lift in a big way, and we love you for it. And
yeah,
enjoy your 2024 membership, baby, because it looks unfucking believable.
Correct on all of the above. But so, Eddie, do we have any information for the punter and the dribbler as to when that'll be back up?
I would say likely in the next, probably Thursday, likely Thursday, punters and dribblers. So keep your eyes peeled. We'll give you a word of warning on the Instagram.
Sweet. Beautiful. Much love to you all. And we'll see you next week. Go Manly.
Bye-bye.
Best of Thursday.
Could you two just not talk anymore? Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.